Today is found in the book of Joshua, part of the fifth and the sixth chapter. We find in the fifth chapter, after that they had entered into the land of Canaan, that God commanded that these Israelites should be circumcised. There had been no circumcision taking place amongst these people all through the 40 years that they had been walking through the wilderness. And now, most of these men that had been rebellious against God and had been punished by walking through the wilderness 40 years had passed away. Their carcasses had fallen in the wilderness, and their seed, their children, came up after them. And these children had not been circumcised. And therefore God commanded Joshua that these people should be circumcised. This was in a way an act of faith on the part of these people. For coming into the land of Canaan, they were directly opposite to the city of Jericho. And where these people were given to be circumcised, they were very sore from this for some days. And it would have been easy for the people in Jericho to come out and attack them. But these Israelites submitted unto the word of God and commandment of him, and they all were circumcised. And after they had been circumcised, then God commanded them to offer up the Passover. It does not seem that they have had this Passover either for any length of time. They then were given likewise to observe this to the honor and to the glory of God for what he had done for them in letting them go through the Red Sea out of the land of Egypt and giving them likewise to come even to this land in which they were at the present time. They had good reasons to observe this sacrifice, this feast, to praise God for his faithfulness and his goodness to them. And we find that after this had taken place, Joshua, their leader, their commander in general, he went up to view the city of Jericho. And as he was near unto Jericho, there approached unto him a man with a sword in his hand. And Joshua went up unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And the man answered and said, Nay, as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua, when he heard him speak in this way, fell down and worshipped him, and spake unto him, and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto thy servant? And this man commanded him to take his shoes from off his feet, for the place whereon he stood was holy ground. What Joshua experienced here is a wonder. He went to view the city of Jericho. In all probabilities, he was alone. And he was praying to God how he should go about to attack this city and get into it. For it was surrounded with massive walls and had strong gates through which they could not get through except they were broken down. Joshua then, we would say, was in a spirit of prayer. And whenever God's people may be brought into the spirit of prayer, then they usually get either an answer or a revelation. Joshua received here a revelation. This man came unto him. Joshua, he was not afraid. He was a bold general. He went right to him. And he questioned him whether he was for them or for their adversaries. In this we see that Joshua was prepared likewise to fight. But when he spake and said that as the captain of the host of the Lord I am now come, it appears that Joshua seen something of the glory and of the majesty of this person that was before him. Who was this person? We have none other to believe but that it was the Son of God himself, who often in the Old Testament times took upon himself a human form and appeared unto certain of his saints. He here appears unto Joshua. And Joshua, when he felt the presence of this person round about him and the words that he spake, he fell down on his face and he worshiped him. If it had been an angel, he would have been told not to worship him. But this person received the worship that Joshua gave him. Joshua, in wonder, in amazement at this person, fell down before him in an attitude of reverence, of adoration. He worshiped him who he knew at that present time to be that God who had called him to this work, who was his friend, who was his helper, who had encouraged him and strengthened him and spake to him that he should go on with this work of taking in the land of Canaan. Joshua laid at his feet, and he had such strong faith given unto him that he addresses him and says unto him, "What saith my Lord unto thy servant?" Oh, my hearers, what precious words these were from Joshua. He claimed him as my Lord, and he likewise claimed himself as his servant. That little word, my, oh, my hearers, there may be some listening to me that would probably give all that they have to be able to say this, what Joshua said at this present time, laying at his feet, worshiping him, and saying, "My Lord, and I thy servant." And this person spake and said, "Take off the shoes of thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy." We read the very same thing happened to Moses when he appeared also to him in the burning bush, and Moses drew near unto him. Then he likewise spake and told him to take his shoes from off his feet, for the place whereon he stood was holy. Joshua then complied to this request. This was a token of great humility and of honor and of respect. This was a custom amongst those in the East. Whenever they entered into a home, a superior person living there, they took off their shoes. This, my hearers, teaches us how wonderful God is at times in visiting his people. This man received this vision of God and was given to believe that it was God himself, Jesus Christ, speaking unto him. It is similar even to this day, my hearers. If God ever appears to any one of you, if he ever makes any manifestation of his presence unto you, irrespective of where you may be, you may not be in a position to fall down on your face like Joshua did, but inwardly you will sense his presence. You will feel his presence round about you. The majesty, the glory surrounds you of this great and glorious and this divine being. And as this is felt, there is, as it was by Joshua, a falling down inwardly and worshiping him. Oh, Joshua, lay at his feet. Oh, have you ever had something like this in your life, my hearers? Have you ever sensed the presence of God round about you, whether you were in your home, whether you were at your place of employment, whether you were in this house of worship, all of a sudden you heard nothing else but this person that was speaking to you. It may have been a minister, it may have been a reader, but you sensed the voice of God, and it was for you personally. And as this came, why, you were brought down in an attitude of worship, of adoration. This is what Joshua experienced. And although you may not have been given that faith that Joshua received to say, "What saith my Lord unto thy servant?" still, you felt your heart going out to this wonderful person in desires and longings, and you began to pray that he would make known the way that you should go, and that he likewise would give you that power and ability to fight against your enemies, that you may make war against sin, against the world, against the flesh, which you felt to be such powerful enemies that you had no might, no power against it. All this appearance of God unto Joshua still exists to this day, my hearers. God is still alive in heaven above. He still visits and comes and makes himself known unto his dear people, sometimes so surprisingly, so unexpectedly. And wherever this takes place, believe me, my hearers, you are on holy ground, because he that is holy surrounds you and is speaking unto you. Oh, that every one of you that are listening to me may experience this in this life, that you may know him, that you may love him, that you may fear him and worship him and adore him. Joshua was lying here waiting for God to give him what he should do concerning this city Jericho. The chapter cuts it off, but in the next chapter we find God speaking again unto Joshua. And we find that Jericho, this city, was shut up because of the children of Israel. There were none that came in and none that went out, because the children of Israel were lying before this city. This city then was surrounded, we would say, by the Israelites. The people, they feared the Israelites. They had heard so much about the God of these people and the wonders that he had done for them. And now when they were lying so close to their city, they were afraid to go in or out. They had seen the wonder that God had done in leading these people through the River Jordan and bringing them right up to their city. Oh, they were waiting for these Israelites to come up to the city and attack it. They did not dare go out against them to fight. They were waiting for them to come. Nobody moved in this city, as God had said unto Joshua that he would lay the fear of himself and of Israel upon these people and upon all the countries which he would give unto them. So it was in this city. And now we find that Joshua is given instructions by God how that he should take this city. The Lord spake unto Joshua and said unto him, "Behold, I have given unto you the city of Jericho, the king thereof, and all the mighty men of valor." Oh, my hearers, how comforting, how encouraging this must have been for Joshua. God, the great and glorious king, he was going to make war against these people. He was going to give the city unto Joshua and to the Israelites. They had nothing to do. All they would have to do is follow the advice and the instructions that God would give them. Oh, this God then was going to be their captain, the captain of the host of the Lord. He was the one that appeared to Joshua. He was captain of the host of all the angels in heaven, but he also was the captain of the host of these people, of the Israelites. They were his people. He had made choice of them, and he had promised to bring them into this land, and now he would go before them. Joshua then was commanded that he should take all the men of war, and that he should take 7 priests, and that they should bear the ark, and that they should carry 7 trumpets, and that they should form a procession, and that they should go around this city once a day. 6 days they were to compass the city of Jericho. And upon the 7th day, they were to go 7 times round about the city. And the 7th time, then they were to blow with the trumpets, and when they heard the sound of the trumpet, then the people were commanded to shout, and when they would shout, then the walls would fall down flat, and the people could march right into the city. These were the instructions that God gave to Joshua while the city was in his hands already. God had given it to him. All he had to do now was to obey. All he had to do now was to follow the advice what God had given him. You would say, what an odd way to make war. In our modern times, if we are to make war against a country, then our generals get together and they form a plan. They put the men in this position, in that position. They equip them with all the materials necessary to make warfare. God is forgotten. God is not even recognized. They don't even go to him and ask him how they should attack the country or the city that they want to take in. But here we have this man, Joshua. He is being told just how to do it. And Joshua obeys God. You read so distinctly in Hebrews 11 that by faith the walls of Jericho fell down flat after being compassed 7 days. It was by faith Joshua had received this, and he likewise relayed this to the people. He commanded the people to get together. He took the priest. He gave them trumpets, and he told them to carry the ark of the Lord, and that they should blow on these trumpets. And he commanded them that they should not speak, that they should not make any noise, but that they should march around the city once. And then they should come back to the camp. Well, the first day, when they began to do this, I could just imagine the consternation and the terror that these people in the city of Jericho were undergoing. They seen them doing this. They probably said to each other, come on, here they're going to come. They're going to make war now. Let's go out and let's fight against them. They must have been all excited. And now when they seen the Israelites forming in a right way to march, they stood on the walls and watched them. And here they came. They didn't attack the city. They didn't make any attempt to go to the gate of the city. They did as they were told by Joshua. They marched around the city. And as they marched around the city, the people in Jericho were wondering, what sort of a procession is this? What are they doing? They don't make any noise. They don't make any sound. They don't say anything. They just marched around the city. And after they had marched around the city, they went back to their camp. They must have been thinking, what sort of a way of making war is this? What are these people doing? All my hearers, these people in Jericho, they knew not this God that the Israelites had for their God. They did not worship him. They worshiped idols, according to the commentary, they worshiped the sun. And they worshiped another idol called Ashtaroth. And now these people in this city, they were devoted to destruction. The anger of the Lord was going to come down upon these people because they were serving and worshiping idols. After many warnings and admonitions, probably, they paid no attention. They went on sinning against God. The measure of their iniquity was full. And now God was going to destroy these people. How awful, you would say. How terrible. God is a righteous God, my hearers. God could have destroyed these people just as he did the whole world. He could have let a flood come upon the city of Jericho. He could have likewise let fire come down from heaven and consume them. He could have done like he did to the army of the Assyrians. An angel went through this army. 185,000 soldiers were smitten in one night. Is God unrighteous when he does things like this? My hearers, no, no. One sin deserves that we likewise should be destroyed. Every one of us, my hearers, deserve by the righteous justice of God that he should consume us. It would not be unrighteous if God took every one of us and cut us off. Oh, have you ever felt this, my hearers? Have you ever fell under it? Have you ever been given to admit it and submit to it? What a mercy, my hearers, to feel that you, a guilty, a wretched sinner, deserve his righteous wrath and anger and indignation. And now these Israelites, they were obedient to their general. They were obedient to God. They followed his instructions. 6 days, one right after another, they marched around this city. And now upon the seventh day, they were commanded by Joshua to surround the city 7 times. They then circled the city 7 times. And he told them that at the end of the 7th time, when they would hear the sound of the trumpet blowing very loud, then they should shout with a great shout. And when they would shout, then the walls of the city would fall down flat. And they would enter into the city. And when they entered into the city, then they were to destroy everything that was in the city. Everything that breathed was supposed to be cut off. This meant that men, women, children, all the animals, the herds, the sheep, the cattle that they had of these people, all were to be destroyed. They were to be cut off. Only the gold, the silver, the brass, and the iron, they were to take and to bring into the treasury of the Lord. They were not to take anything that was in this city. They were forbidden to covet anything that they found in this city. Because if they took of this city, it would be a curse unto them, and they would likewise bring a curse upon the camp of Israel. They were then forbidden to take anything. Actually, they did not gain anything when they entered into the city of Jericho for themselves. They had no booty, they had nothing. The only thing that they gained, we would say, was the land. And now when Joshua commanded them, after the trumpet had blown a very loud blast, then he commanded them to shout. And when they shouted, that God in heaven above, who had given the orders, he made the walls fall down flat. What a thing it must have been to these people in the city of Jericho. For this God, who they knew not, who they did not worship, but of whom they had been talking, and whose wonders they had seen and heard of, this God, he fought for these people. And the walls fell down flat. They didn't have to do anything, these Israelites. All they had to do is march into the city. And they went into the city, and they destroyed man, women, and child. They cut them off by the edge of the sword. Everything that breathed in the city was destroyed. And after they had done this, they set fire to the city, and they burned everybody that had been killed in the city. It was a heap of ruins, a heap of ashes. The city of Jericho was to remain such as an indignation of the wrath of God, and as a sign that this God had raised this city to the ground, and that anyone, years after, would see this, they would be given to know what God had done unto these Canaanites that dwelt in this city. Oh, my hearers, of this city then, with all its inhabitants, were cut off. There was one person in this city that was spared. This person was Rahab, the woman that had taken the two spies in. She had shown love and favor to God and to these Israelites in keeping these spies in her home and directing them how they should go back to the camp of Israel. And when this took place, that the walls of the city fell down, it is said distinctly that this woman's house was upon the wall of the city. The commentary believes that that part of the wall did not fall down, that God caused a miracle to take place, that this remained upright. And he sent the two spies, Joshua, to this woman's house. And they brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. They brought them out and put them behind the camp of Israel. Oh, can you not think for a moment what must have taken place with Rahab inwardly? All her countrymen, they were destroyed. And she likewise was worthy to be destroyed. She had been a harlot. She had been a sinner. And here, God spared her and her father and mother and family. Oh, I'm sure that she must have said, "Who am I, O God? And why hast thou spared us?" Oh, it was of the Lord's mercies that she and her family were not consumed. Because by faith, she had entertained these spies and kept them. And this God in heaven above honored her faith even when all the other people were destroyed. All my hearers, this woman Rahab, as she was given after a while to be married to one of the men of the tribe of Judah. And if you look in the genealogy, you will find that even Christ descended from this woman, that she was in the direct line from where Christ would descend. This likewise proves that God has his people even in the most unlikely places that you would think of. In this city where everybody else was destroyed, she was the only one that was spared. And because of her, her family was spared too. Oh, this city is a type of this world, my Hebrews. that we all are devoted to destruction, whether you believe me or not, in and through sin. By one man, sin entered into this world, and by sin, death has passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And God, in his righteous anger and justice, will visit this world, and who knows how soon. For the earth and all what is therein shall be burnt up, and all the wicked that are therein shall be cast into that fire that shall burn forever and ever. This is hanging over our heads. This is the word of God. This was hanging over the head of Rahab, and she took it to heart. It went home. She saw that God was just in punishing all her people and likewise herself. And she repented. She turned back unto the God of Israel. And this mighty God, he spared her. Oh, my hearers, has it ever taken any effect upon you what is hanging over your head and what can come down upon you any moment? Oh, how I wish that every one of you were given to be concerned. It's a personal matter, my hearers. How shall you appear before God? Oh, that God would come down.